KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have partly cloudy skies and 24 degrees. We look for skies to become mostly sunny today, a high around 39. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN Area and State News, brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle. Call 641-745-5253. In state news this morning, a bill introduced in the Iowa House would forbid most Iowa school districts, cities, and counties from banning guns in public buildings. Gun bans could only be enforced in public buildings that screen the public at entry points and have armed security officers inside. Representative Stephen Holt, a Republican from Denison, is a key advocate of the bill.
I happen to believe that gun-free zones is an invitation to crazy people, an invitation to sick people, because nobody that has ever done a mass shooting has obeyed the law, because it is illegal to kill people.
A gun ban makes a public place a shooting gallery, according to Holt.
How does anybody believe that a sign is going to stop a sick individual who has decided to murder innocent people? What it will do is stop law-abiding citizens from carrying their firearms into that situation. So this is, as far as I'm concerned, about the health and safety of all Iowans.
Scott Peterson, interim executive director of Iowans for Gun Safety, says it takes training to assess an active shooter situation.
Law enforcement and military, the last thing they, if there's a shooting or there's a hot situation, the last thing they want is people to start pulling out guns and shooting.
17-year-old Ellie Miglin, a student at Des Moines Roosevelt High School, says because of the school shootings, her generation supports enhancing rather than relaxing gun regulations.
Why aren't we doing more to reflect on how our society has changed?
Miglin and Peterson spoke at a state house event arranged by the We Can End Gun Violence Iowa Coalition. Well, Senate Republicans have unveiled their proposed limitations if Iowa voters approve a constitutional amendment to automatically restore felon voting rights. The plan would still force those convicted of murder or manslaughter or certain sex crimes to apply to the governor to get their voting rights restored, and it would force paroled felons to pay all their restitution before they get the right to vote. Senator Dan Dawson is a Republican from Council Bluffs.
This is not a poll tax. It's a murder tax. It's a sexual assault tax. It's a robbery tax. We're not talking about people who randomly just got charged with felonies. We're talking about persons who made an affirmative decision to go out and commit a serious crime.
Opponents say linking voting rights to income is wrong. Currently, felons applying to the governor just have to show they're keeping up with a payment plan to get their voting rights back. Heather Strawn with the National Alliance on Mental Illness Iowa says she survived abuse and disagrees with the approach Senate Republicans are proposing. Strawn says she feels safer if her abuser is participating in society and getting the treatment he needs.
And as a survivor, I urge you not to exclude people from voting based on ideas of repayment and protection in my name.
Iowa is now the only state in the country that does not automatically give felons the right to vote once they've completed their sentences. Republican Governor Kim Reynolds has been pushing the Senate since last year to pass her proposed constitutional amendment to automatically restore felon voting rights. Well, Creston police reported the arrest on drug charges of 19-year-old Haley Ziegler of Creston. Ziegler was taken into custody at her home a little before 9 a.m. on Monday for possession of a controlled substance first offense and possession of drug paraphernalia. She was released from the Union County Jail on a $1,300 bond. And just before 4 p.m. Monday, 29-year-old Trevor Kincaid of Creston was arrested at the Union County Law Enforcement Center on a warrant for failure to appear on an original charge of assault causing bodily injury or mental illness out of Union County. Kincaid was being held in the Union County Jail while awaiting a bond hearing. A call about a disturbance between a man and a woman in Avoca Saturday evening resulted in the arrest of 48-year-old Mark Allen McNary of Avoca. Authorities in Pott County say McNary was being held in the Pottawatomie County Jail on $12,300 bond on charges that include going armed with intent, harassment in the first degree, threatened forcible felony, interference with official acts, and public intoxication. Saturday morning, 59-year-old Robert Leverman was arrested in Pottawatomie County following an investigation into a reported impaired driver on Interstate 80 south of Underwood. Leverman was taken into custody for OWI first offense. And Friday afternoon, 41-year-old Keith Nelson of Papillion, Nebraska was arrested following a report of an erratic driver in the area of Magnolia Road and I-80 in Pott County. A deputy caught up with the SUV and following an investigation arrested Nelson for OWI second offense. Page County Sheriff Lyle Palmer yesterday said his office received a complaint Friday from the Iowa Department of Human Services in reference to an alleged incident of child abuse at a residence in Page County. During the investigation, five minor children were taken into protective custody and turned over to the DHS for temporary placement. 36-year-old Aaron Dwayne Childs and 32-year-old Elizabeth Renee Peak of Yorktown were arrested. Both face felony charges of child endangerment and assault causing an injury, a bodily injury, which is a serious misdemeanor. Aaron Childs was arrested also on a Page County warrant for driving while license suspended or revoked, failing to appear in court. The incident in question allegedly took place last Thursday at a residence in Yorktown. Both Peak and Childs have posted bond and were released pending further court proceedings. The National Weather Service is set to release their first spring flood forecast later this week, and Southwest Iowa officials are worried that there will be more flooding this spring. Forecasters say already that the amount of snowpack in the eastern Dakotas is a concern. And the Fremont County Emergency Management Coordinator Mike Rosilius expects more flooding in his area.
Because it all goes into Missouri River up there and it ultimately comes down here.
Rosilius said the recovery from last spring's historic flooding is still underway.
There's still people in need of things. I've still got people coming in every once in a while looking for stuff. We got a number of people that have, displaced that are no longer in our county.
Soil in the Missouri River Basin is saturated and cannot handle any more rain or snowmelt, according to the National Weather Service, thereby putting the region at higher risk of flooding. Forecasters say tributaries to the Missouri River are likely to flood in western Iowa. An Iowa State University Extension economist says high-tech farming methods aren't something most farmers are trying. Alejandro Plastina says the issue is getting enough payback to make the investment.
Typically, the investment required to be able to use those practices might be higher than traditional practices. They claim to be able to recover that investment cost and actually be more efficient and have lower costs.
And he says those costs have held back its widespread use.
So far, precision agriculture is not as widespread as it could be because mostly of the initial investment required to use it.
Plastina, who specializes in figuring the cost of production for farmers, says GPS tracking and other technology can give farmers a lot of information.
I don't think currently, especially mid-sized commercial farmers, are benefiting from all that extra big data information on Iowa fields.
He says farmers that get the data may need to know how to use it. Other farmers can benefit by using the old-fashioned data they gather and putting that to use as they prepare for planning. Plastina says you can find a lot of information to help you make those calculations on the ISU Extension website. And finally, in the state news, Deere & Company plans to lay off 105 more workers in Dubuque. The company told workers last Friday at the John Deere Dubuque Works that the layoffs will take effect April 6th. It will be the third round of layoffs at the plant in the past few months. In October, the company said more than 110 workers will be laid off by November the 18th. In December, the company announced nearly 60 workers will be laid off effective January 6th. The news was brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle. Call 641-745-5253. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.